morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Look to the Lord in prayer this morning together. The Bible saith, Almighty God, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children, like olive plants, all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for adding to our life the joy of knowing that there is a God who cares for us. Thank you, Father. And as a body of believers, we pray for ourselves and for others believers around the world and around our city and around America. Father, that they may realize the greatest gift that we have, the blessing of a mighty God. Father, we praise you for answering prayer. And Daniel Lacey, now the fever is coming down and he's on the recovery way, and we pray that he be careful and manage his life under the indications of the doctor. We pray for Michelle DeLillo as she experiences the recovery, pain is involved, and Father, give her strength in these very difficult moments. Lord, we continue to pray for Betty Tarp. What a precious lady. Now with Alzheimer's and the last stages of Alzheimer's, we pray for Terry Toste. We pray for a bee. We pray for the house. We know it's painful for all. For Loretta Forrest, one of our treasures who is there confined in bed. For the people in Indonesia and India and Asia who lost everything, may this experience bring them to the realization that there is a God. They cannot be lost. Doesn't matter how big is the wave, our God is always with us. Father, we are thankful that finally the Hudson family have a home here in Morton Hill. Thank you, Lord. So much hassle, so much to suffer before they settle, and we are thankful, Father, for that. And Lord, we remember ourselves, Ryan Sumera, who is in training to serve our country. Lord, what a privilege for a young man to do so. And Lord, thank you that this experience, when I saw Ryan at the end of the year And then last Sunday, I saw a man who stand knowing what to do. Lord, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of that young man, and I pray that you cover him with the umbrella of your protection and your presence. Thank you, Lord, for giving me as a motto, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. That's my text for the coming year, Lord. It is required and a steward be found faithful. This is my text, Lord, and I pray I will leave that to the very end and to every word that that text is. What a challenge for my life. It is required and a steward be found faithful. Lord, I pray that this church may find me faithful to you in what I said and in what I do. Lord, we are thankful for our deacons who are my strength. For years I have them, and for years they are consistent in their life. They are examples to the community with their homes. We are grateful for our manager, our brother Ras. We are grateful for the people who here is showing the community that we have an established church with established people who knows what they believe and knows how to behave. Lord, what a proud pastor I am today because your people follow you. Thank you for the young people, Father. They are a treasure to me. And when I watch them, I saw many, many of them being born. And I can't believe now they're 6 foot tall. Lord, they are wonderful. They are the best treasure from every home, and they are the pride of this pastor. Lord, now as we come to the service, we remember our missionaries, Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, David and Denise Rode, Giovanni and Barbara Avellano, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and Martha Parretti. Thank you, Lord, that you support them through our friends over the internet, over the radio, over the tape ministry, and through this congregation so faithful and so wonderful in giving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are a faithful God and you are revealing himself in the life of these people in which I am in their midst as their pastor. Oh God, help me to honor this position each day more. In Jesus I pray and I thank you for giving us the opportunity to give. So bless the offering and bless the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 379. We will be reading Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, that we may know you and your law and your beautiful character. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to keep the law for us. In our imperfection, we pray for strength to keep your law, knowing that our desire to do so comes from your gracious gift of faith alone. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We pray that you would continue to bless him as he studies and brings to our attention those things in your word that for various reasons we would not or could not discover for ourselves. We thank you for his faithfulness, because great is your faithfulness. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet and CD and tape, and especially for those who have not embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that they may come to believe the gospel and not come into judgment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my good brother Plika. Thank you very much. Now, let me let you know my text is 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. It is required of a steward, and we all are stewards of the gospel. It is required of a steward to be found faithful. And so it's very important. And this coming Wednesday, every Wednesday we tackle a psalm. It happened to be Psalm 13, which is a psalm of depression. And the psalm is like medicine, and the title of my meditation will be the cure for depression. And we do not record, so far as I know, this. We do not store it. We only broadcast it over the internet. So if you're at home, you can turn on and listen to the meditation. It's a very simple formula for depression. It's no Prozac. It's not charging to you anything. It's just a wonderful formula from God about depression. Now let's open our Bible to Psalm 119, verse 1. Just a general information first, so that you know what you're getting into. Psalm 119 was born of love for the Word of God, and extolled the beauties and excellencies of the written Word of God in a way found nowhere else in the Bible. If you want to know what the Bible is about, you will do a grave favor to yourself in reading 100 times Psalm 119. There is no denomination in mind. There is no races in mind. There is no nations in mind. The only thing in mind is the Word of God, and you will be extremely blessed. Now let me tell you a little bit about Psalm 119, never matched by any writer in the world. The 8 verses of each section begin with the same letter in the section. So the section for our consideration today and follow the alphabetic order of the Hebrew alphabet. So each paragraph begins in the proper sequence of the alphabet as designated at the head of each section. Maybe some of your Bibles on the top say Aleph. So the section for our consideration today began with Aleph, corresponding to the first letter of this paragraph, which is the word Esher. Aleph is a character that has no equivalent in the English alphabet, except in the Spanish, because it has the H. It's a mute sound. And the word pronounced in Esher, which means happiness or blessedness. On our morning worship service during this month of January, we will reflect on 4 sections of our meditation on these Psalms. And today we will start with Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. Over and over and over, I heard people telling me, you Christians have double standards, because you say one thing about God, but do not practice what you say. In other words, in plain language, we are charged of being hypocrites. So I entitled the psalm, How to Avoid Hypocrisy. Again, I'm not talking about denomination. I'm not talking about any specific things on theology. I'm talking about mere practical theology. All right? How can we avoid hypocrisy in our religious life? This section of the psalm will help us to get our act together. Some of you already know it, but it's just a review. There are 3 things for our consideration. First, in verse 1, we are counseled to walk by the book. Verse 1, we are counseled to walk by the book. Then in verse 2, we are encouraged to keep his revealed truth. Each time that you say, oh, wow, I understand the scripture. Man, that is wonderful. But now you're encouraged to keep it. And then finally, in verse 4, we are commanded to follow God's precepts. And we're going to touch very heavy on that. And then at the end, we're going to wrap up the entire study, how to avoid hypocrisy, with one verse of the scripture who say it all. So let's just start working in the scripture. Verse 1, Psalm 119, verse 1. I'm going to read the King James Version, and I'm going to read my version, all right? That way, I'm translating the Bible, and so each time I'm going to preach, I'm just working in storage, and I'm translating in a vocabulary that sometimes looks odd, but it's the raw vocabulary of the Hebrew language. But we use the King James as our text, and you have it. Here it is. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. This is the way I translate it. How blessed are those whose ways of life is blameless and walk in the law of Jehovah. How blessed are those whose way of life are blameless, who walk in the law of Jehovah. There are 3 things I want you to see in this verse 1. First is the counsel. What's the counsel? Well, the Bible said here, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk. Now, that's in Hebrew is a strong verb. I don't want to tell you which one of the seven scale, but this is a strong verb. Dominate the paragraph. And so the counsel is walk in the law. The law here is not just a written paper. It's a rule of conduct. It's different than the Ten Commandments. It's a different word from the law of the Ten Commandments to any other. It's a word that indicates the rule of conduct. So walk in the law and the rule of conduct of Jehovah. Now, that's very hard for President Bush, for example, who has to walk by the Constitution of the United States of America and allow, divorce and allow abortion and all kinds of things like that. Very hard for some believers in high position. But that's what the command is. Walk in the law and the rule of conduct of Jehovah. Now, how you do that? Here, I'm going to give you an example in each case. And you turn your Bible to John 8, page 628. John 8, page 628, verse 29. Here is the example in how you walk by the rule of conduct of Jehovah. And the verse is telling me, the counsel of the verse is to walk by the book. How do I walk by the book? The example in John 8, 29, page 628. He who sent me, said Jesus, is with me. And he has not left me to myself or alone. He has not left me to myself. Now, this is Jesus talking. Now, when I read that, I retranslate the verse so that it will be easy to understand. Is that he who sent me is with me and has not left me to myself. That means Jesus cannot make or do or say anything of his own criteria. Why? Look at the verse. For all I always do what pleases him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus, who is God, who came to redeem us, who came to put his life for my life, so when the judgment of God comes, I am no judge, God will see Jesus in me, and because Jesus was already judged and passed the judgment, I will not be judged. If he says, I always do what pleases him, and he says, I have not been left to myself. Can you imagine if I tell you this is my personal opinion in the Bible? Can you imagine what a heresy that will be? If I stand here or write the book and say this is my opinion about this, when God wrote the book, that's what I never intended to write the book of theology, because God already wrote one. I have no opinion of myself. The only opinion I have is God. God the Father. Well, where do we find it? Well, as you turn the Bible to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 30, page 687. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 30, page 687. If you turn the Bible there, let me tell you what happened in Galatia. Galatia is, I will say, Santa Clara County. It was not per se a place of Galatia. There were Iconio and all the Lystra, all the churches in the Asia Minor region called the County of Galatia. And there were professors and philosophers. And their idea was this. You can be a Christian, but first you have to follow the ceremonial law of the Jew. You have to bring a lamb. The lamb has to be cut and so on. And then you can have Jesus. And there was a big argument at the beginning of the book. Paul, really, are you? Who moved you from the truth and so on? But then finally, he brings the example of Hagar, and he tried to use every piece of the Old Testament to show these people that that's not so. Then finally, in chapter 4 and in verse 30, look at what he says. But what is it that Scripture says? What says the Scripture? And I think that this is how we should live. We are counseled to walk by the book. And we live such a fast life. We live such a fascinating life here in the Bay Area, with a prosperity never seen around the world, that our life can be enticed to think that we need this or we need the other, not looking into the Scripture. I think we got a glimpse of how the world lives as Asia and Indonesia and India got hit by the tsunami, which is a maremoto, means the ocean moves with motor. We got an idea as the cameras of the TV reflects the homes that were there. And then that was a retreat where people went for vacation. That was the luxury of the area. Raquel told me today, I wonder if somebody, those people drive around our town, what they will think of us. Believe me, we are counseled to avoid hypocrisy. We are counseled to walk by the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Whatever the Scripture said, we will do. You can do anything you want to as long as the Scripture say it. Young people, you can do anything you want to. Now the Scripture said, children, obey your parents. For how long? Obey your parent, obey your parent, obey your parent. For how long? Obey your parent, obey your parent. That's what the Scripture said. And I know how our soul is. Young people ask me, well, what if my parents are wrong? The Scripture say, obey your parent, obey your parent. What if my parents are out of tune? Obey your parent, obey your parent. You got it? The Scripture say. That's what it is. It's very difficult. Sometimes the Scripture touch our pocket. The Scripture said, give your tithe to the Lord. Well, wait a minute. When I earn $100, $10, okay. I told my cousin, when I catch a penalty kick, I got $10,000. And he came to my house and said, what is the $1,000? He was the treasurer of the church. They're very blunt in South America, all right? And I said, what are you talking about? I hear on the radio. How much they give you? And I said, well, wait a minute, let's reason about this. No reason. This is Malachi 3:10 said, bring the tithe to the pocket. That touch your pocket, in my pocket. Are we hypocrites or are we real people? You know, the world is good in putting the finger on us. I welcome when people put the finger on us. Because then, you know, I as a pastor stand in this community as in living in a house of glass. Everybody see you and look on you. You know? And that's the way we're supposed to be. And I'm saying this because I don't mind if you said, Pastor, Brother Cassandra, show me the record of the pastor giving. I don't mind you. This is important. We have to avoid hypocrisy. It's easy to talk about doctrine and the hyper doctrines, but it's hard to talk about practicality. But as your pastor, I have to. And here it is. First point, we are counseled to walk by the book. Now point number two. It's getting harder and harder, my friend. Point number two. We are encouraged to keep his revealed truth. I read the King James and then I read my translation. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Let me read it for you. Blessed are those who observe God's revealed law, the testimonies is God's revealed law. It's not talking about testimonies here. It's not talking about you giving a testimony about Jesus. No, it's talking about the testimony of the law of God. That's what is called the law in the Old Testament, the testimony of God. Legally, that's what it's called. Blessed are those who observe or keep God's revealed law, who seek him with all their heart. What is God saying to us? But here's what God is saying. Be consistent with God's revealed truth. See, the Bible is the testimony. And this is the revealed truth of God. They have an Old Testament, an Old testimony, and a New Testimony. And this is all what we have. And the Bible said here, blessed or happy are those who observe God's revealed law. See, God's not going to reveal the law in a dream to you. God's not going to reveal the law in any other way except than the written word. Blessed are those who have that. Now, what is the example? Let me show you the example. Let's go to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts 17, page 652. 652. Acts 17. And we're going to start reading from verse 1. And I read from my own translation, and you will see how easy it comes in. And I pause in every verse so that you compare with your King James. Acts chapter 17. This is the example of somebody who encouraged people to keep the revealed truth of God. Now, just to give you a background, Acts 17, you know, it's a history book and written by a doctor, by a medical doctor, Dr. Luke. And you know how doctors are, very picky, or the right hand and these, they really give you the detail. And Dr. Luke wrote the gospel and wrote the book of Acts and give you all details. The details are these. Paul now is going to second time missionary trip and is going to visit the Jewish people. Where the Jew people meet? In the synagogue. All right, so listen carefully. And what do they know? They know the Old Testament, the Old Testimony. So listen to this. Verse 1. Passing through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they eventually reached Thessalonica, the left Yugoslavia and going up, where there was a Jewish synagogue. Verse 2. Paul, as usual, went in and for three consecutive Sabbaths developed the arguments from Scripture to them. Verse 3. Explaining and proving how it was ordained that the Christ should suffer and rise from the dead, and that Christ, he said, is this Jesus whom I am proclaimed to you. Now, that is encouraging people to keep the revealed testimony of God. He went and he took the scripture, the scrolls of the Old Testament, and he went to this Jew who knew about the Messiah. You know, the word Christ is a Greek word, and Hebrew is the word Messiah. And so he went to them, and rather than preaching about how to live a successful life and how to live without pain and so on, he went to them and gave them the key of the successful life, Christ. He said, guys, I want to tell you about the Messiah. Now, the Jew have a wrong idea of the Messiah. The Jew thought that the Messiah would be a king. Now, remember, they are under the domination of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire has three governors in the area, one in Idumea, another in Judea, and they are controlling the city and under the oppression of this foreign country. It's like if America is under a kingship of China. And you're looking for a liberator. You're looking for somebody to give you political power. And so they listened to Paul. And Paul said, the Messiah needs to suffer. What? The Messiah needs to be killed. What? The Messiah needs to be gone. Who are you talking about? We need it. But he was not Paul's idea. Do you notice the scripture? Paul did not went and said, now guys, I have an idea as a philosopher, as a PhD in philosophy, let me tell you what is needed in our country. He didn't. The scripture said clearly he went to the synagogue as usual, and for three consecutive Sabbath, that is 2 weeks, he argued from the scripture. He said, guys, you believe this book? Okay, let me tell you what the book said. I'm sure that he opened Isaiah. Isaiah 53, perhaps. I'm sure that he opened Ezekiel 36, where the Bible tells us that they are dry bones. And God said, you see the dry bones, Ezekiel? Oh, boy, on my word, they all will become alive. And they became alive. And can you imagine if you are in a cemetery and God said, now, when everybody comes out, I think you die yourself. Can you imagine that? These prophets, they saw that. I mean, we're talking about God. And so, when you talk to somebody, don't talk about electricity or engineering or medicine. Talk about from the scripture. And if they don't want to hear it, pray for them. And then when they hear it, talk again to the scripture. Because see, we have no business in this world to teach anybody, business from the church to teach anybody science. That's the university. And you go and learn science, and you learn medicine, and you learn law, and you learn trades and so on. That's your business. But when we are in church, our business is to encourage people to keep the revealed truth of God. And people are saying, we do not want it. Well, that's no new. From time being, they do not want it. Cain do not want to hear what God said. Abel hear his father and sacrifice. Cain, forget it. I do it my way. Remember in Genesis 4? He brought the best fruit of the land, the best apples from California. He brought the best, oranges from Florida. He brought everything to God. And God said, hey, I don't want that. I told you what I want. But that's mankind. Mankind always want to improve God. It's no crazy. We, the little ants, want to tell the creator what to do. It's crazy. And so the writer, to me, Ezra, the writer of Psalm 119, clearly said, blessed are those who keep the testimony. You want to be blessed in your life when you witness the word of God said this. So we don't care. Well, I care. He says, we don't believe it. I believe it. A smile. Don't argue when you, oh, did you? No, I said, hey, I believe it. It's so good. You know, people think you're crazy, but it's good. I'm happy. I love that song 176. Break thou the bread of life. I'm happy because God took whatever I have in my mind, my engineering mind, my scientific mind, my research mind, everything away, and show me the clarity of God's word, that Jesus died for me. God doesn't have to explain to me that he was the Messiah because I'm a Gentile, and the Messiah doesn't relate to me. But when I talk to a Jew, and we're going to get a guy in a coffee shop with these, it's straightening their face because he needed. He needed. I'm waiting for him to come in. He's in Oklahoma now, but I want him to come in because he needs to know that the Messiah needs to suffer. See, God liberated you knowing the way that you think is in the way that he thinks. And how does God liberate our life? Well, he's zeroing the Messiah. He lives a perfect life. They kill him for living a perfect life. He resurrected again. He goes to heaven and he's accepted. And the Bible says anybody who believes in him is just like him. Woo! It's that simple. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything. It's just believing that the Messiah died for you. Powerful psalm, don't we? We are encouraged to keep his revealed truth. I think I want to stop that watch over there. I like to speak for 2 hours, you know. Number three, we are commanded to follow God's precept. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. How? diligently. If you have to translate this raw, you will say you have laid down your precepts to be carefully kept. To be carefully kept. And the counsel is obvious. Keep the precepts carefully. They are called precepts because they prescribe to us not just a suggestion. I cannot hear when somebody preaches and said, it is my suggestion. We don't want suggestion. Will you go to a doctor who you are sick and the doctor look to you? You go to the emergency here in St. Louis and the doctor look and say, well, my suggestion is that you take this medicine. Will you go again to that doctor? My suggestion. Doctor, tell me the medicine. Well, it's my suggestion. It's up to you. Well, see, people do that with the scripture. And verse 4 clearly says, God, you have laid down your precepts to be carefully kept. Oh, as the King James said, commanded us to keep thy precept diligently, carefully. Now, what is the example? There is an example in the Bible. Go back to Acts again, chapter 17, page 652. Acts again, chapter 17, and I'm going to read verse 10 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and verse 11. So do you understand what means carefully? All right? Because sometimes we need definitions and we need a practicality. I see the example here. I'm reading Acts 17, verse 10. Page 652. The first verse will be from the New King James. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Remember, Paul was preaching, and boy, he got in hot water. They jumped a window, and they went to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. He knew where the Jews are, so he going to pray. We're going to preach them. Verse 11. These Bereans were more noble-minded. The word noble in the King James, it has a suffix, which is reference to the mind. So they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. In other words, you cannot fool them very easy. All right? And they welcomed the word with eagerness. Now look at this. Every day they study the scripture to do what? To check whether it was true. There's nothing wrong for you to go home and say, I'm going to get a tape today, and I'm going to look into the scripture and find out if Pastor Otero is in the right mind or not. It is not wrong to do that. But you check me with the scripture, don't we? Don't compare me to a book of philosophy, or compare me to another preacher, or compare Bethel or what we do here to another. This is not the business. See, you compare what you do with the scripture. When somebody will come and tell you, and we do this in our church. Well, I said, let me see if it's in the scripture. They maybe do something different than we do, and it's in the scripture, and it's okay. There are churches who have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. It's in the scripture, my brother, and so it's okay. We don't. We have the tradition of the first Sunday and so on. But you have to see, is in the scripture or not. So we are commanded. You know, do you saw the word command in the King James? Thou hast command. Ryan is in the Army of the United States of America. I was in the Navy, and many of you were there. There were no suggestions given. Our brother Dulilo was a guard in the White House. I'm very sure that he never said, well, I suggest if you stand here if you want to. I don't think so. Brother Lilo will not be here. He was still in jail. All right? Even though it happened a few years ago. All right. I tell you, I like the Navy and the Army and the Air Force because there are commands given. There are no options given. There are commands. And we take a lot of liberties, especially in countries where we live with a president and a Congress. But I tell you, God said, you are commanded to follow God's precept. And how you do? Well, you know, usually people come to church, they don't want to stay more than 12 o'clock. This is Christianity today, because they have to go to a luncheon right after church, and they have an engagement. So the pastor cannot preach longer, and when they go, they say, it's a good sermon, and they never look again in the scripture where the pastor preached to be sure that the pastor is okay. So you know what I do on Monday? I look in the scripture and the pastor says, I preach. And as soon as the tape comes over there, I listen to myself to see if I was crazy or was okay. Because if I was in error, I will tell you. Do you think I'm going to hide an error from God? You maybe do not pick it up, but God will pick it up. And if I know in my heart that I have an error, I tell you. So my brother and my sister, young people, just look into the scripture. Listen, like Paul said, to everything. You can listen to this music, to the other, and so on. And then look into the scripture if that is so. It's not fantastic. We are protected, not by a pastor, not by a church. We are protected by God's word. By God's word. So what do we learn today? We learn that to avoid hypocrisy, so the people said, oh, you say you are a Christian, but you are doing this. We have to do three things. Number one, we have to walk by the book. And then number two, we have to keep the revealed truth. Whatever we know, we have to keep it. And then we have to follow God's precept. So we can hear everything from anybody. I encourage you to listen as many preachers as you can, television, radio, whatever, and then compare what they said with the scripture. And once you know it, if the man is right, we have on Wednesday night here a guest speaker via the television, actually a videotape. And one came from Australia. Remember, I forgot the name, the guy who looks like Lincoln. It can come, see? And he was teaching about creation. And he taught for 3 months. And whatever he said, I was attempting to memorize it. I was there to memorize whatever he said so I can run home and write down what he said to compare with the scripture. Yeah, you can memorize anything, okay? You have the brain given by God, so you listen carefully, no distractions, and then you go back, write it down, and say, is this what God says? And then we have a brother, what's the name, Brother Plica? The brother... R.C. Sproul, a man that he taught theology. I mean, this guy flies right here in theology. And then sometimes my pew here has got to go up and listen carefully. Was like a college, more like a graduate school here on Wednesday night. And we had to do it. And it was a great man. And I was blessed because I looked into the scripture and that's exactly what the man said. And we have the next morning, my wife and I, we have the devotional on what he says. And my wife was asking me questions and I was telling her how great it is to see this from this point of view and the other. It's so beautiful because we have the safety of the scripture. But if you do not read the scripture, you have no safety at all. Now the conclusion, please. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. You're in the book of Acts, you go to Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Here is the conclusion of the entire matter. How to avoid hypocrisy. I could read these texts and wrap it up. Having therefore these promises, the promises that you saw in the psalm, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. My brother and my sister, let us clean up our mind for what we hear in television and what we read in the paper of what we read at any place, and let us have our mind in the Word of God. That's what the Bible said. Having these promises, dearly beloved, clean yourself. Look in the Scripture, and then you have tomorrow news. May God bless us. That as we grow in the Lord, our life change directions and our life change in the way we live because of the Scripture. See, I don't have to tell you, oh, you don't do this and you do this and do the other. I tell you what the precepts are, and you and God pray that God will give you the strength to follow so you live a clean life. The Bible says a man works to support his family, a wife cooks to feed that man. You know, basic things on the Bible. Children obey the parents. The grandchildren are the crown of grandparents. And so on. And you look in the basic structure of society today and it's chaos. Children don't know where the grandparents are. Because they are children from these women, from these women, from these women. I remember when I went to do my trust. The lawyer said, let your wife go out and tell me about your children. Well, my daughter is her daughter. Really? Yeah, it came from her, not from me. He said, don't look to me. It looks like a man. No, he said, because, how many wives you have? So far as one, don't tell me I have another one, but I have one. See, then he later on explained himself. Well, I had to ask questions. Is society crazy? Yes, it is. Don't become crazy. Just follow the book. Young people, follow the book. Honor your parents, and God will bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, sometimes we do things that are not according to your book, and somebody from outside can say, that's a hypocrite. But Lord, we ask you forgiveness. We ask you to renew in our life in a spirit of faithfulness to your word. Oh, God. Give us a desire to follow your precepts, a desire to see the revealed truth, and we will be blessed. Thank you, Lord, you have patience with us. Thank you that you don't look to our errors. You make ways for us to escape and to follow you. Thank you that you are a God of forgiveness. Thank you, thank you. Oh, cause us to obey, and we want to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. Amen. Amen.